Welcome again to the Faith Factor podcast. And in this series, we're doing a verse-by-verse study of 2 Peter. It's been my experience that we as Christ followers struggle with balance in many things. And we struggle with balance in understanding the role that we play as those who are being sanctified by the Spirit of God and how much input we have in that process. I've heard folks say, and you may have heard this too, that in the spiritual realm we need to just let go and let God. The inference being that because of our sinful natural condition, we can make no contribution to the process of becoming more like the Lord Jesus. But I think Peter would take exception with that position, doctrinally, intellectually, and practically. Here's why. The apostolic gospel certainly recognized that the only contribution I make to my salvation is my sin. I'm a sinner in need of salvation from God's justice and wrath, and I can do nothing to save myself from it. That's the work of Christ. That's why Jesus died for you and me. The gospel is Christ in my place, and I can accept that, embrace it by faith, or I can reject it. To not follow him as my Lord and Master is by biblical definition to reject him and to decline his gospel. Our salvation is achieved monergistically. That's a $50 word, but a good term in this discussion. Think about that word with me. In physics, erg, E-R-G, is a unit of work. And for our purposes today, think of monergism as mono equals one party, and erg equals working. In my salvation, the triune God did all of the work. It was monergistic. I contributed nothing but my sin. I am justified or declared righteous by God solely on the basis of his work, the effort completed by the triune God alone. And when I am saved, when I am justified by God, I am sanctified positionally in God's eyes. The Father sees in me the righteousness and moral perfection of his Son. However, the Holy Spirit's role is to sanctify me experientially, to see that moral perfection and righteousness of Christ, incrementally but progressively, is lived out in my life, becomes my reality, as he, the Holy Spirit, builds Christ's righteousness into my behavior, into my language, thinking, attitude, and character. So why is everyone justified to the same level, but sanctified experientially to different levels? Well, one reason is this. Justification is monergistic. God does all the work, and he does it completely. However, sanctification in my behavior, thinking, language, attitude, character is synergistic. I'm working along with the Spirit. He's supplying all of the power, but I'm called on to cooperate, to yield, to submit, to be disciplined in my walk with Christ, to prioritize those activities that I know will lead to greater synergistic Christ-likeness. Now, some folks say, you're just making your Christianity a bunch of rules, of things you have to do, of boxes you have to check. But that's not it. If you were to ask me how to improve your physical fitness, I'd tell you that there are things you have to do. Exercise and nutrition and handling stress well, getting sufficient sleep. You might say, I don't want a list of things to do, I just want to be fit. But there is no shortcut here. There are things, there are activities, even obsessions, that will lead to you getting in shape and getting physically fit. And that's true with spiritual fitness too. In my experience, people who don't read their Bibles or get involved in using what the Lord has entrusted to them to serve others in the local church, or choose not to engage in prayer and worship and fellowship, those activities that the early church embraced in Acts 2:42, well, those folks who don't do that just don't progress in their Christ-likeness, like folks that jump into those things with both feet as priorities in their lives as they follow Christ. Experiential sanctification is synergistic, me working together with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit wants my cooperation, my yieldedness, and the discipline in prioritizing what he says is essential for growth and spiritual fitness. Sanctification is a place we'll all get to when this life is over, but it's also a verb, a process, a spirit-driven progression of becoming more like the Lord Jesus. So Peter says in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, for this reason. Why does he say for this reason? Well, because of the salvation he has just discussed in the prior verses for our life and godliness. For this reason, make every effort. Your Bible may say applying diligence or be even more diligent. But there's no question, Peter is referring to human effort. And consequently, those words disturb some believers deeply because they've been told that they can do nothing to assist the work of God in their lives. I think this is a confusion about justification, which, as we said, is monergistic, the work alone of the Lord, and experiential sanctification, which is synergistic. It requires my participation. The apostle is clear that when it comes to confirming our salvation by living it out, we have a role to play, and it's a role that requires maximum focus and effort. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, or your Bible may say perseverance or endurance. And steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Peter has here listed 8 characteristics that should be growing, developing, flourishing in my life and yours. And it should be all 8, not just a few off of that menu. Peter's not saying, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. He is not promoting a self-help program or action steps to a better you. Peter is saying that the Spirit of God is empowering this transformation of character and the resulting behavior, but we have to cooperate and yield and submit to His work by making every effort. That's the wording that he's used here in verse 5. We need to be vigilant and know what are the signs of true conversion, being truly born again, being authentically brought into an eternal relationship with the triune God through faith in the Lord Jesus. So why does Peter want us to watch for those characteristics of spiritual life? Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Changing in this way, by this 8-fold description, and continuing to grow by these 8 metrics is clear indication that you are truly saved and are growing to be what the Lord has called you to be. He has called you to be effective in reflecting His glory in this dark world, and this is how you do it. He has called you to be fruitful for Him. Wanting that and seeing these things in your life is clear indication of spiritual life and health and fitness. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Peter is talking about assurance of your salvation. It is possible that you have been authentically saved, to have been genuinely justified, to be truly born again, and then to struggle in your experiential sanctification, that there is not as much growth as there should be. Peter refers to that as being so nearsighted as to be practically blind, to have forgotten about the beauty of having been cleansed from your former sin, because that person continues to dabble in those things that they shouldn't. They don't have the joy that they originally had in their salvation, they don't experience real peace, and they struggle with assurance that they are really born again. Maybe that person isn't even born again. I've known people like that who thought they had an encounter with God, but they slipped back into their former way of living, sometimes giving up on what they had previously declared they believed. But here's the thing. If one is truly saved by Christ, they are saved forever. However, if there is no permanent change, there is no authentic spiritual life. Peter is warning us to be always vigilant, to be always engaging in self-analysis to ensure that we are growing in Christ, healthy, spiritually fit, not by our own effort or according to some human standard, but according to the 8 metrics that he listed in verses 5, 6, and 7. If these features are not present and growing, then spiritual life is dying or maybe it's non-existent. Maybe it was never really there. That's why Peter is so strong in us understanding and self-analyzing our spiritual condition, our spiritual health, our spiritual fitness. He wants believers to be confident and assured in their salvation, recognizing that our calling and our election are inseparable. And those two verbs are actions by God alone. And so he says in verse 10, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities," those eight metrics from verses 5 to 7, "you will never fall." And then Peter looks ahead to the day, which for him was not very distant, as he was soon to be martyred for Christ and enter into the eternal phase of the kingdom that he had pursued as a follower of the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance," or your version may say, "receive a rich welcome." "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."